Startup Stimmen, der Podcast für Gründungsinteressierte vom Reach Euregio Startup Center. Welcome to today's episode of the Reach Podcast Startup Stimmen. My name is Greta Böske. I'm a startup coach at the Reach Euregio Startup Center in Münster. And today we're in a very special setting as we are live at Slushed. Enskede / 2024, and we are in our live podcast studio, and I have three amazing guests on today's session, which is called Echo Over Ego, Why Your Startup Fails If It's Not Sustainable. So very warm welcome to all three of you, Markus, Sophia, and Amelie. Maybe you want to start with a short introduction of yourself at first in this episode. So who of you wants to start? Markus wants to start, I think. So go ahead.
Okay, I'm Markus. We run Climate Founders since 2020, and that's a remote accelerator for climate tech startups. And we work with very early stage teams, so usually prior to the first funding, and help them to get their first funding, also invest in them, and already work with around 200 teams in the last 4 years.
Thank you very much. Welcome on board, Markus.
Thank you.
Sophia,
yeah,
you want to go ahead?
I will. My name is Sophia Himmelman. I am one of the co-founders of ReCarbon. So we are actually a spin-off of the University of Twente. So I'm around here in Enschede quite often. And what we do is we build climate technology in order to literally suck CO2 out of the atmosphere. And well, the goal is very obvious. We have too much CO2 in the air, and that's what we're trying to combat by actually extracting it directly from the air. And I've been doing that for almost two years now. So,
yeah, that sounds very exciting. Thank you very much, Sophia. And last but not least, Amelie. Yeah. Who are you? What are you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me. My name is Amelie Vermeer, and I was one of the co-founders of Spoontainable, a company which produces and distributes edible cutlery to substitute plastic. But I sold my company last year, and now I'm working for a consultant firm who is bringing startups with microplastic-free products into new markets.
Very cool. So both sites on startup founding and working together with. Very cool. So I'm super glad. We're all super glad to have all of you here today, all three of you. So looking forward to this podcast episode. And we're usually starting all podcasts with an entry question all of our guests get asked. So we're doing that as well today. So the entry question, and then all three of you have got the chance to give a short answer what they think about it. Okay. Who or what inspires you personally the most?
I can start.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
So I'm really inspired by companies who do a lot regarding sustainable impact and who really fight for it and try to make the world a better place, even with like small actions. And I think this is really inspiring and helps us more to embrace the same way and enhance the sustainable impact we can all have on our planet.
Thank you very much. That's a good one. So,
yeah.
Anything to add?
For sure. I think I have a very similar answer. So for me as well, it's mostly like the founders, but also even policymakers or other people just trying to make an impact and really dedicating a large part of their lives to kind of solving the major challenges of our age, so to say. And yeah, for me, one of the major and most interesting challenges is just trying to combat climate change. So for me, anyone who's making significant steps in that field is a big inspiration.
I see. Thank you very much. Mm. And Markus, who or what inspires you personally the most?
So what inspired me to start Climate Founders was Greta Thunberg. So she brought me back to the topic of climate change in end of 2019. And that was one inspirational side. And then now it's mostly the founders. So founders who really want to push and to figure out how to do things and want to change the world. And it's amazing to work with such founders.
Yes, the big goal of changing the world. You just put it in that sentence like it's a basic thing to do. But yeah, I think good inspiration to do something on the big tasks we got to manage as humanity, right? Yes, okay, so this episode today, Echo Over Ego, it already says it. We want to explore the crucial role of sustainability in startups, and just really especially in maybe all startups, so that's a thing we can talk about. So the role of sustainability in startups, and maybe we can also learn your top strategies for managing that in what you do related to startup, just founding or working together with startups. So you got many interesting perspectives on that today. So we're trying to dive into that directly. So maybe, Sophia, you want to start now that you're actively working in a startup. In your experience, what do you think are some of the common myths or misunderstandings about incorporating sustainability into startups? So what problems do founders face or expect to face, and maybe even maybe unsure about when thinking about sustainability in a startup, and how can founders address them effectively?
I think the biggest misconception is that sustainability always goes hand in hand with more costs, which I think is true in some cases, but definitely not in all, especially when you look at like a longer horizon than, let's say, like the next quarter or the next year in terms of making profits. I think what a lot of people overlook is the fact that sustainability is not only something to make the world a better and sustainable place, but it can also really be something that will pay off on a longer time horizon, and which is maybe an investment now, but it should really pay off a lot more in, let's say, 10, 15, 20 years. And I think because people have this prejudgment of like, oh, sustainability is just extra investment costs, maybe they are backing off a bit before they even dive into like calculating like what it could mean for their business. So from my perspective, I think that that's the biggest misconception.
Yeah. Probably even for the whole society. So yeah, I think probably. we face this myth in many different topics we have to work on, actually. So yes, I see. Do you want to, Amelie, maybe add something from your ex-founder's perspective?
So. Yeah, I totally understand that position, because when we tried to sell our edible spoons, it was always for the small companies as if, for the big companies as well, that it costs more. So economic versus sustainable was always the biggest topic. And I think that was our biggest struggle as well in the past, because we had to convince them that sustainability is maybe in the beginning more costly, but after a while it can really pay out. And sometimes economic can even be a part of sustainability, because you can maybe sell it as a marketing part, or even sell the products you're really buying in. So I'm totally agreeing with you, but I think it's a huge topic, and it's still the biggest struggle out there for sustainable companies.
Yes, I see. Markus, as maybe as an added problem that might come up, growing and being sustainable might clash together at some point. Do you think that's a special thing founders have to face when it's about financing their startup? So making decisions on getting financial resources, which is most of the time going hand in hand with growth and as big as possible. So do you think that is a thing that doesn't work very well for sustainable startups?
I think it can work well in cases when the impact is clearly aligned with the financial success of the company. And that is very important, to make it very clear in the beginning and making sure that it's 100% aligned, and that you don't can go into another direction where you maybe earn more, but you are less sustainable or have less impact. And if it's strongly connected, then it works really well. If it's, but often it's not perfectly connected, and that's the problem. Then in that case, it always went into the direction of money and not into the direction of impact.
I see. So you see, or you say alignment of growing, but under certain restrictions, even maybe, is crucial to reach the goal of growing sustainable, right?
Yeah. And then I think it's not a problem to grow as fast as possible. I think we need a lot of companies like your companies to grow as fast as possible to really have the impact we need to have. But it needs to be perfectly aligned, and that's not that easy.
It's not that easy. I see. But what do founders do that didn't keep sustainability in mind in the first place? So how can they manage to get both ideas are growing and sustainability hand in hand, especially when they didn't think of that on the first day of founding? Because I think that's actually the reality of many founders.
Yeah, I think they at first need to have the right motivation. So if they just want to become rich, then they're probably, it will lead to the wrong direction. And if they're 100% convinced that they want to do, to create some positive impact and to achieve their goals, then it becomes natural from time to time. And then they should be open to understand and to really challenge their own idea and their own topic. So in kind of, can it go into a wrong direction? And really questioning yourself, could it go into a wrong direction? So like I work, for example, as a startup with big energy and oil companies. Could it be, can there be difficulties in the future because they put the money there in the end just for greenwashing themselves, for example, instead of really making a change? And sometimes you try to help them, for example, to decarbonize, but they don't really want. And then you can come into trouble to really succeed. And then you see that they have big advertising of changing something. But you know, if you really look at it, then you know they don't want. And they just do it sometimes just for fun or just for marketing. And I think that's important to understand and to really figure out in the beginning what could go wrong.
So making good choices, especially in the topic of, okay, are my partners, my investors open for the idea of sustainability we as a startup have, is an important thing to do, right?
Yes.
Do you, or do the two of you have any opinions on that as well, maybe? Or did you maybe even almost made deals with people who weren't aligned with your idea of sustainability? Oh yeah, it looks like.
No, I definitely recognize exactly what you're describing. So actually for us, the product we develop, it could be interesting for oil and gas as well, because they could in theory use it to just extract more CO2 from the air, and then they are able to kind of offset what they're emitting, right? So actually oil and gas as a client was like a big topic for us, because we were like, well, we don't really want to engage with oil and gas because of the image, and also because indeed they use a lot of the funding for climate tech for greenwashing. But then on the other hand, we also thought about ways on how to go around that. So now, for example, we have an agreement with one of our clients who are in oil and gas, but we are specifically only partnering on a e-fuel project, which is actually sustainable, and it is 100% not involved in any oil and gas activities. And then I think it's a different story. So I think it's also depending on kind of the project you do with the client and how that is set up. But it took us a lot of time to really figure out what are their incentives here and how to be sure about that, and even like put that into a contract and make sure that also won't change in the future, kind of.
And you can't just close your eyes from those customers and those companies, because they have high pressure on finding innovative solutions for the problems they might even cause themselves. So I think, it's probably not the easiest way to manage this, but even opportunities for great impact if you work together and find a way to align on this idea, even though the motivation might be from different sides. Huh?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Emily, you also have experiences on that?
Yeah, I think it's really important to see both sides. Like from the startup side, I think sometimes you have to make more economic decisions sometimes, and maybe put sustainable just one step behind, because you just have to survive and get money first to have more sustainable impact in the future. Like in the COVID crisis, a lot of startups had to do some decisions on economic side and not on sustainability side. But now, while I'm trying to help startups to get into other markets, I think it's just really important to be transparent about how sustainable you really are, and maybe even what's still missing, because you can't be 100% sustainable in production or supply chains. You always have some points which are still or need improving. So I think transparency is very important. And then, of course, like whom you work with or like what kind of steps you're really taking to embrace sustainability. But just being transparent is, yeah, it's so important on both sides.
I see. And Amelie, maybe also another question to you. So as some early stage or future founders might listen to this podcast episode, is there any advice you think from your experience you could give to them how to in the beginning already create an environmentally and socially responsible startup? So is there something, if people are listening to us and thinking of okay, that's my motivation, that's my incentive, I really want to change the world, I want to do that, how can they be very aware of the challenge that other startups might face in later stages? Mm-hmm. So where do I start when I want to become a sustainable, super sustainable startup?
Yeah, I think it's very important that the goal of sustainability is always there and it's always your mission or vision. But don't forget about a business model. Like you still have to make money. I think it's the same, which I just said before, but money is so important to make. And of course, it shouldn't be the first thing that you want to get rich or anything, but you need to think about a business model to have a long-term company. And sustainability doesn't happen in like 1 or 2 months, but it takes time, it needs time. And that's why business models should also be very clear. And even sustainable startups should really think about that to have a long-term impact.
Thank you. So do Sophia and Marcus also have something to add? What's the start for a sustainable startup?
I just thought about one startup in Germany, or they are already a bigger company. They started 15 years ago, and that was mainly about chain heating systems for private people. And how they started was that they sold gas heaters, which were more efficient than the regular things. And 15 years ago, it was an impactful way to reduce CO2 emissions. But on the way, they would have to change to heat pumps, for example. But they refused that for 10 years because the market demand was not there and they needed to grow to survive as a company. And there was this struggle of really finding the right moment when to go for the final solution. And that is a typical problem that you often have work on a solution which is maybe just a bridge solution, which has some positive impact now, but maybe creates new problems in the future, or the better solution is probably another one. And then I think that are often cases where you run into those problems that you have to challenge yourself in the beginning, if it really makes sense to create a bridge solution, or if you should already go to what you finally want to go,
and finding the right momentum to move on or keep with what you're good at. Huh? Yeah, I see. So it might be a big thing for many companies, actually, not even sustainable in the first. So we're buzzwording, also, especially me in this episode. But as you mentioned, some startups you already work with in the accelerator. Maybe you can share one of the top strategy advisors you have in mind from all that experience you gained from founding yourself and doing Climate Founder. So is there a shortcut top strategy for sustainable success? Maybe even for startups that didn't think of that too much in the first sight. So as we think about a topic, echo over ego, is there maybe shortcut to do something and to start something somewhere, so that's like a little hack for not that sustainable startups?
I would love to know it, but I don't know something like that, and I believe there is nothing like a shortcut for entrepreneurship and starting a company. I think it's always hard work to find the right way, and I think, as you said, so finding the right customer's problem, really solving that and really engaging with your customers is the first important starting point, and really do what you love and really go with that and push some barriers and keep learning. And I don't know. I can say many more things.
All in or nothing. That's what you have to face. Mm. That's what you say. Yeah, I see. Okay. Do you have a different opinion on that?
No, not really different. The first thing I was thinking, like, I think a lot of people would wish there was like a kind of a strategy you could follow, right? But yeah. I think it probably depends on industry to industry, on company to company. I think whether you're running like a more sustainable business model based startup or another type of startup, in both directions, if there wouldn't have been a need for sustainability, then we also wouldn't have needed to come up with kind of new strategies. But also, like a lot of people in the past 100 to 200 years, they have not thought about sustainability. So it's just not out there. And I think everyone just needs to come up with new business models and try to really understand what they're doing. So also in terms of building their product. And I think it's just different per startup and per person. And I think what you said about transparency and really understanding every detail of your supply chain, for instance, details like that, I think are very important to make the right choices. But I don't think there's like a holy grail on how to do it. Sadly. Yeah.
I see. So you think startups fail when they're not sustainable?
I hope so, at least. I don't know. It should be a big part. But I don't think so. There's enough opportunities out there for products or other stuff. They can succeed, of course, without sustainability. But I think it gets more and more important, especially for the customers, for us as consumers. And that's why I hope it gets more embraced. But I think still there's, of course, enough opportunity for products which are not sustainable. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing to add. They should fail, but they are not.
We all wish for it. That's what we have in common. But
yeah. I think also maybe even if you're like a very, very passionate sustainability startup founder, let's call it that way, there's always like a little devil inside you that is maybe creeping like, oh, maybe actually we should go for this because it will bring in more money, whether it's for like... the interest of the startup or your own interest. I think it's difficult in general and I mean, there's so many, in my opinion, very stupid and unsustainable ideas in the world. So definitely we're not there yet, I think. And a lot of people are going after those ideas. So no.
But you think it's getting more? As you said, not yet.
I think so. But I think maybe, societal kind of pressures are also not really steering in the right direction. So, yeah. It's from both sides, right? So maybe when you have a lot lower income or you're really just pressured in terms of money, then in a way, I can also understand why you would go for an unsustainable business model if that makes you money.
Mm-hmm. I see. Thank you. And Marcus?
I think in general, startups and entrepreneurship is about likelihood. And I would say that real sustainability and impact in your business model brings you a higher likelihood to succeed. And that's because there are some reasons. So it's easier to get capital. You have more reasons to sell it to your customers. And if you really bring it into the right setup, then you have a higher chance for success, I would say. And that's all about that. So I believe that more sustainable startups have higher likelihood, and the not so sustainable ones have a lower likelihood in general. But if they have a good business model and a good product in some way, then they will succeed. No question.
So you're saying that everyone has to be sustainable, but sustainability can be your super factor, your super skill. You should maybe think of getting hands on.
Yeah. But important is that it's not greenwashing, so that that it really should create something, and it's not just a small greenwashing layer on top of that. What you do, that's also important.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. So I think we can now head to our closing question, as we almost reach the end of this podcast episode already. Big thank you for those insights you just gave us. And I think, as Emily already started with the with the entry question, Sophia and Marcus, you might want to start. So the question is, what is the most important thing you've learned during your working or startup or founding experience, and how did it change you?
Maybe in light of the topic of the podcast, I think it's very important to understand the motives of everyone that you work with. So whether it's investors or clients, and really like get straight to the point there and make sure that you're aligned also in terms of sustainability. Because even though people say certain things, it might be, for example, that you still end up in the marketing greenwash division of a client, whereas you were thinking like, okay, you, we're just going to end up in their regular business, so to say. And I think that's a very important thing to screen upfront very roughly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
In my case, it was a startup failure. So a startup which the product that we built, we had to stop after about 1 year of development, mainly because we couldn't really solve the customer problem and really didn't understand the customers well. And that was the biggest learning for me, to go completely in the other direction, to never build something before it's not proven that the customers want it. And that changed a lot of things, how I work with founders, how I did the things afterwards. And I think that was a hard but good learning in the end.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
For me, it was using your advantages. So like maybe for me, it was my network, so that you really use your network, ask questions and ask everyone around you if they could help you, because you can't do it by your own. And I think it's so important. Too many startups don't or hesitate too much to ask people for help. And I think it's very important to ask just everybody for it and build up a network you can use to really start up your startup.
Thank you very much. As a startup coach, my heart is smiling, because I think many important challenges for all startups were in the words you just found for our closing questions. So thank you very much for being here today in our podcast. Thank you very much for listening to our live podcast here live at Enskede/ on Echo Over Ego. We hope you enjoyed it and we want you to stay curious. Thank you very much.
Reach from science to startup.